ज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांगिराशलाकय चक्षुरून मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वावरण्यं हरदनश्च नन्दन्तैर्विदं यच्चे पुनः पुनः श्रीमरूपदाम्बुजोदुलिस्यां जन्मजन्मनि। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual master had opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So in this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're studying about how Akrura has brought Krishna and Balaram, or is bringing Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Actually, I believe it is Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. He describes that Kamsa decided that he had sent so many demons to kill Krishna and they all failed. He thought, maybe if I could bring him here to Mathura, then somehow we'll arrange to finish him off. He said, but how to get him to Mathura? That was a big problem. Because no one in Braj will agree for Krishna to go to Mathura where this huge demon Kamsa is ruling. So he decided the only person who the Brijvasis would trust is Akrura, and good old Uncle Akrura. If I send Akrura, then there's some chance that the Brijvasis will allow Krishna and Balaram to come to Mathura. Some chances there. But how to get this Akrura to agree? He'll immediately understand that I have some nefarious plan. Akrura will immediately understand that I have some devious plan. So how to get him to agree? So Kamsa thought he was being very intelligent. He decided to build a brand new chariot, all gold plated with nice soft velvet and beautiful flags and all gold plating, everything completely brand new. So he thought he would offer Akrura that you can go in a brand new chariot to pick up Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan. Because you know, when you get a new car, it's so nice to ride it around. Huh? It's got nice different smell and everything's shiny and you have so much fun. You just love to drive a new car. So Kamsa, this way he will induce that if I make a brand new chariot, then Akrura will think, whoa, I get a chance to drive a brand new chariot. So he thought he was being very clever. Actually, Krishna inspired him to think like that. The demons think they're very clever, but everything is inspired by Krishna. Krishna inspired him because it would have been horrible if he had sent Akrura with Kamsa's own chariot, used by Kamsa. Krishna has to sit on the chariot used by Kamsa. This would be very horrible. Just like in the morning we offer the Mangalartik sweets. But if we come and we find that our Manmohan is there eating the sweets before the offering, then we'll take a stick and beat him, run him out of the temple. First we offer the sweet, then we take. We don't give something, or we take some cloth that we've worn and then we make some outfit for the Lord. No, we don't do like that. So this would have been a very gross offense that Krishna had to sit on a chariot used by Kamsa. So this was all, the demons think they're very intelligent. Kamsa thought he was being very clever, but actually Krishna was more clever. Yeah, he made arrangement that he doesn't have to sit on Kamsa's chariot. And he came to Vrindavan. So just near Vrindavan town, on the road between Vrindavan town and Mathura, because actually Nanda Baba was living in Nandagam. But the last place they crossed, from Nandagam they came, then they crossed that Vrindavan town. Because the forest of Vrindavan, Prabhupada explains here in this first 10th canto, in one of the purports, that the forest of Vrindavan, Van means forest. Now, Vrindavan, the town, looks more like your Port Louis than forest. But the actual forest stretches from that town of Vrindavan 24 miles up to Nandagram, and includes Barsana and Govardhan. They're all within the forest of Vrindavan. That particular town that became famous as Vrindavan, that became famous because that is where Krishna's most famous Leela took place. Everybody knows about Ras Leela. That is the most famous Leela of Krishna. So in that particular place, that Ras Leela took place, so that became known as Vrindavan. But the forest is very vast. It's one of the biggest of the 12 forests. Maybe even the biggest. So he came from Nandagam, but then he passed just near that area on the side of the Jamuna. And just on that road between the Vrindavan town and Mathura town, just after, I think it's just after you pass, there's one ITT, International, Institute of something in technology, ITT or IIT or something. Not IIT, but some little institute is there. Just past that, there's a little road to the left. And the first time I went there, it was all broken down and very small temple, but now they've improved it very greatly. Very wonderful place is there, beautiful temple. Vishnu and Balaram are there, Guru is there. So this was just on the bank of the Jamuna. So Krishna, under the excuse of taking bath before entering into Mathura, because they're just coming from Nandagam, where everyone is just cowherd people. Now they're going to the big city with all the city slickers. So they have to look sharp. They're thinking, if we go to the big city, then we have to look a little sharp. We're just gwals. So better we take a nice bath and dress ourselves nicely to enter the big city. So Krishna and Balaram, they took their bath. Then Akura is described here, we're just reading. Akura came down to take his bath, and he saw Krishna and Balaram within the water. Then suddenly he saw Anantashesh and Lord Vishnu lying on the Anantashesh. And he became very astounded. He offered so many prayers. So we know Prabhupada always quotes one verse, Vrindavanam Prityajam Paramekam Nigachami. The Vrindavanam Prityajam. We know this word tyag. It comes from this verb tyaj. The verb is tyaj and the noun is tyag. Vrindavanam Prityajam. Leaving Vrindavan. Param Ekam. We know Param from Pariyatra. Param Ekam. Nagachami, I don't even take one step to leave Vrindavan. Krishna and Balaram, they never leave Vrindavan. That fellow who appeared in Mathura with four arms, that was Basudev. And then Basudev carried Basudev across the Jamuna. And if you see the fifth chapter here in the purport, Prabhupada describes how Jiva Goswami and Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur have described that Madhya Yasoda gave twins, so that Basudev, he merged into the original Vrindanandan, Chamsundar, Sri Krishna. Now here at this point, this is when they switch. Krishna and Balaram, they never actually leave Vrindavan. Vrindavan and Prityajam, Padamikam, Nagashtami. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Instead, he entered very deep into the hearts of all the residents of Braj, especially within the hearts of the gopis. But then that Basudev and Anantashesh, they went on to Mathura with, this is the point, right at this is the border between Mathura and Vrindavan. So when he returned, his eyes must have been looking very funny, because they're Krishna and Balaram. They say, it appears that you have seen some amazing thing. And the Guru says, and here he's telling, in the previous verse also, he's telling that after seeing you, what amazing thing is there? And here he specifically says, yatra adbutam, adbut means amazing thing. Bhumo on the earth, biyati in the sky, jole in the water. Just like in Vrindavan, we say pani. But when you go to Mayapur, then everybody says jol. And in the water is jole. So in the water. So now that I am seeing you, he says Brahm. Krishna is not ordinary person. Krishna Balaram not ordinary persons. Brahm, they're the supreme personality of Godhead, supreme absolute truth. So now that I'm seeing you, O supreme absolute truth, in whom reside all amazing things in the earth, in the sky, and in the water, what amazing things can I see in this world? When I'm seeing you, you're the most amazing thing. There's nothing in this world, in the land, on the sky, in the sea. There's nothing amazing to you. You are the sum total of all amazing things. Seeing you, what is it? Whatever amazing thing to see on the land. It's like here in Mauritius, we have so many strange shaped mountains, very amazing. And in the sky, we have this funny bird with his little strings coming down, coming off his wings. What do you call it? Payoku. Yeah, and his tail, all right, they're in the tail, Payoku. So people think this amazing thing. They take the tourist trucks up, vans up there to see this flying there in the sky. Amazing thing. Yeah. And in the sea, we have so many, everybody wants to go snorkeling to see some amazing thing. But everything amazing thing is within Krishna himself. Nothing to compare. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is told, just with a spark of my splendor, I reside in this world. Just spark. Just like we have a big bonfire, one little spark, nobody pays attention to that spark. Everybody's huddled around the bonfire getting warm. With some spark, nobody runs over, oh, let me get warmed up by the spark. It's just spark. There's nothing. It's like we were at Gaur Gopal, so all these people, they're somewhat pious, but they're still in enjoying mood. So I was telling, this place is very beautiful in so many things. Just imagine how beautiful Krishna's place is. We're thinking this is the beautiful paradise born from hell. But just imagine how beautiful Krishna's place is. We're all attracted. Oh, everybody's coming now. We see everywhere, hotel and hotel. We went for drive here and there, we just saw hotel and hotel and hotel and hotel. Everywhere, because everybody wants to come, so beautiful place. But Krishna's place, there's nothing, this is just spark. Spark, nobody pays attention to spark. We're foolish, we're chasing after spark, and there's a big fire somewhere. We're freezing in the coldness of Kali Yuga, and there's a big fire, and we're running after the sparks. We just imagine the beauty. So, even seeing Ananta Shesha and Lord Vishnu, he's not amazed. He said, no, you're the most amazing. Even Arjuna came to the same conclusion in Bhagavad Gita. He wanted to see that universal form. Then he saw universal form. Then he was just astounded. But he was afraid. And he said, please show me that forearm form. Then he saw forearm form. Then he saw this. He said, please, now just show me that two-armed form. And Krishna says, this universal form, maybe by some penance austerities you may be able to see. This four-armed form, that is very difficult. But this form that you are now seeing, nobody can see. saw Lord Vishnu and Ananta Shesha in the water. That's not amazing. Krishna is the most amazing thing. He came back. You have seen something amazing? No, when I have seen you, what is there left to see? We have to come to that point. We're still thinking there's something else to enjoy in this world. But actually, there's nothing more beautiful than our Radha Goloka Nanda. When will that day will come when we're not attracted by any other form in this world, only in the form of Radha Rani and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? When that day will come? And there's nothing more than that. Even the Akura is coming to the same conclusion. Even after seeing Lord Vishnu, he's still coming to the conclusion. There's nothing more amazing than seeing you. I haven't seen anything amazing. When I've seen you, there's nothing left to see. That is the point we have to come to. Therefore, we have to chant very seriously, great concentration. Prabhupada said, just hear the sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. If we just chant very carefully, hear the sound very carefully, then we'll become attracted to Krishna. Then we'll lose attraction for this world. We're not artificially renouncing. We try to renounce something, just like if I tell you, don't think of the color red. And then what is in your mind? Only red is there? Is it? I said, don't think of the color red. Then only red is in your mind. That is artificial. Just like the yogis, they twist themselves up like pretzels and trying to negate everything. That is artificial. But here, if we try to hear the sound and become attracted to Krishna, parandrishta nivartate. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, getting a higher taste, one automatically loses the lower taste. We're not after this dry vairagya, just trying to avoid. No, we're trying. Prabhupada said, this is the positive joy. Krishna consciousness is the positive joy of spiritual life. We don't negate anything. Just like in Dubai, this one nice devotee, Paramananda, he picked me up from the airport. He said, Prabhuji, how can I avoid all types of sense gratification? I said, not possible. And why should we? Just like here, I imagine that Prabhupada took many walks on the beach. Huh? So in Los Angeles, some Prabhupada used to walk on Venice Beach. So one boy had come, he lived in Arizona in the desert. And somehow going through airport, he got a book. Then he started corresponding. Then he got japa beads. He learned how to offer his food. Then they wrote, Prabhupada's coming to LA. You should come. So he came. So we invited him to come on the morning walk. So we were walking along the beach. And suddenly he just blurted out, Prabhupada, I read in your books that wherever a pure devotee stays, then all material enjoyment goes away. And Prabhupada stopped and he turned. He whirled around and pushed his cane into the sand. I was there when this happened. I just happened to be in LA that day. He looked at this boy. He said, we do not say do not enjoy. You were not in the kirtan this morning? Oh, yes, Prabhupada. That was not enjoyable? Oh, yes, Prabhupada. That was very enjoyable. Huh? You were not in the class discussing the philosophy of Krishna? Yes, Prabhupada. That was not enjoyable? Oh yes, Prabhupada, that was very nice. Huh? So yes, we do not say do not enjoy. We say you enjoy like a human being. You have your senses. You can't stop them. Huh? But you enjoy like a human being. Then Prabhupada said, and this drink all night and dance in disco club, this is enjoyment? Oh no, Prabhupada, that is enjoyment like cat and dog. So we don't say don't enjoy. We say you enjoy like a human being. You cannot stop sense gratification. But we have to gratify our senses in a Krishna conscious manner. So like here we have so many beautiful pictures to see. We're talking about Ras Lila. There's Ras Lila there on the bank of Jamuna. Then we have the beautiful picture of Gornitai. Is it Vrindavan Gornitai? Durban Gornitai. Acha. Durban doesn't have Gornitai. Maybe Johannesburg, yeah. Because Durban, they only have Mahaprabhu Radha Radhanath. Huh? And so many beautiful paintings are there. Some a little astonishing. Here we can see Nrisimhadeva. This is astonishing. But we also like to see astonishing things, isn't it? The whole newspaper, they don't tell good news. They always tell the bad news because, oh, there was a big accident. They show all the pictures, everybody with their heads cut off and this and that. We used to see astonishing, horrible things. So there's Lord Nrisimhadeva. We can see horrible things also. We're attracted, isn't it? The whole newspaper, there's some newspapers, they just, their sales point is horrible things. Gossip and horrible accidents and horrible things. Yeah, so we have Lord Nrisimhadeva ripping apart Hiranyakashipu, putting his intestines around. What is more horrible than that? Yeah. So we're attracted to these things. So this is, we don't say stop your senses, we say engage your senses in Krishna consciousness. Gratification. You can't stop. You have senses. You're a human being. You're a living being. One time, Prabhupada said, the Mayavadi say, to become God conscious, then you have to become silent. He said, to become silent means to become like a dead stone. He said, if God realization means to become a dead stone, then I do not want to know what is God. Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness means that we don't become silent. We have so much to say about Krishna with 24 hours in a day, there's not enough time to talk about Krishna. So we like to talk about something. We're talking all day long, talking something, something, something. And so we can talk about Krishna. We like to listen to something. We can hear about Krishna's pastimes. We're hearing this wonderful pastime of a guru, hearing some interesting facts about background to this pastime. We like to smell nice incenses there offered to the lotus feet of Radha Golokananda. Beautiful flowers. We're so lucky here in Mauritius. We have so many beautiful flowers. So beautiful smell. So we don't say you give up sense gratification. You give up nonsense sense gratification. It's like here across the street, they're advertising Happy Meals. And one devotee in Cape Town, what is his name? Maybe it's also Kavi Karnapur, something. He was an artist, so he put an exhibit in the art show. He went to the slaughterhouse and bought the head of a cow, and somehow he preserved it in plastic. And then on the outside plastic, he put the little smile and the eyes from the Happy Meals logo. We were thinking Happy Meal, but you asked the bull what he thought about that meal. He wasn't happy. So, you give up eating all of these horrible things. This is not Happy Meal. Happy Meal is rasgulla, sandesh, halava. I remember the first time I became a devotee. We went, they didn't even have a temple. They were just staying outside of Boulder, Colorado, somewhere in a log cabin, actual log cabin, not with cut wood, but with real logs just, dovetailed together like this. Because they had looking for a place to stay, and these hippies said, you come stay with us, we got plenty of rooms, so we were staying there. So I came out, and they said, tomorrow's Krishna's birthday, we're going to fast till midnight and have a 25-course vegetarian feast at midnight, all Indian recipes. So, wow. Because my friend Sunshine and I, we were the cooks for the main hippie camp. Just above Boulder, there was a campground, and the hippies had taken it over. We called it main camp, so we were the cooks for main camp. So Indian recipes, wow, interesting. And although I was more or less a vegetarian, my friend Sunshine, he was not. So we'd eaten something that morning we don't want to discuss in this holy place. So I thought, I could sure use a fast after that breakfast. And then a 25-course vegetarian feast of Indian recipes? Wow, sounds far out. He said, we got plenty of room if you want to come and stay. So then we went and stayed overnight. And we got there to the temple, or not the temple, to the log cabin. And because they were going to fast all day, the devotees had made a big pot of halava. Now, I never heard of halava in my life. Not fortunate like you were eating from birth, but we never heard of halava. So I said, what's halava? And they pointed, there was this little stainless steel bowl. You know, in those days we didn't have money to buy a silver bowl for Krishna. We had a little stainless steel bowl. And they pointed, said, that's halava. And I went to put my finger and said, no, we don't eat off of Krishna's plate. You don't eat off of Krishna. I mean, of course. I mean, who would think of eating off? Eat off Krishna's plate? What are you guys talking about? They said, well, first we offer everything to Krishna before we eat it. So that's Krishna's plate. Well, do something to it so we can eat it. It looks wonderful. So I certainly didn't know what halava was, but the devotees, they put down these little paper plates. Probably wasn't even paper plates. We were very poor those days. Probably just a piece of wax paper. And devotee was coming with a pot, and all the devotees were sitting there going, oh, mercy, Prabhu, mercy, mercy. They knew what the halava. I had no idea. I said, wow, this must be heavy-duty stuff. These devotees are going crazy for this thing. So then they put some halava on my plate, and they chanted some funny words. And they ended up with Hari Bol, and I just ate this halava. In America, anyway, we make halava with butter, not with ghee. And butter halava has got a distinct taste. Do you make with ghee or with butter here? Huh? Butter, so you know butter. All right, this little British accent, butter. So you know what, that halava tastes different than the halava you get in India, you know, isn't it? So nice. So we don't say stop eating. But you eat nice things like halava offered to Krishna, rasgul and sandesh, paneer sabji, puris. I was amazed when we got to midnight and there was this 25 course vegetarian feast and so many things, and eggplant balaram and cauliflower potatoes and sour cream and oh, so many nice things. And then there was this gulab jamun sitting there. And in the old days, the law was it had to soak for 3 days before you could offer it to Krishna. So this was cooked in real cow ghee. It was a real opulent thing. Been soaking in the sugar juice for 3 days. And the first devotee I met was Bhavananda. Bhavananda was sitting there across from me. He said, you know how to eat this? Because he saw I was just relishing everything. And I said, no, I have no idea. And he picked up that gulab jamun, and he threw the whole thing in his mouth. Bloop. And I said, well, if he can do it, I can do it. So I picked up that gulab jamun. I threw the whole thing in my mouth. And I thought I must have made it to the spiritual world, because they told me everything in the material world is temporary. The spiritual world is eternal. And this thing, this sweet wasn't going to end. It just went. I said, wow, I made it. I'm in the spiritual world. So there's no sense gratification like Krishna conscious gratification. He Prabhupada said, even if you don't believe in Krishna, still our way of life is the best way of life. You forget about Krishna, still this Krishna conscious sense gratification is the best. So we don't say give up sense gratification, but yog means to link, yukt. You link all of your sensual activities with Krishna. You see the beautiful pictures for Krishna. You see the beautiful deity. We don't say stop dancing. You stop this disco dance and break dance and whatever kind of dance. I don't know what they're doing nowadays. Last thing I heard was break dancing. I didn't even know what that is. But you do the Swami step. Raise your hands in the air. When you raise your hands in the air, all your anxieties just flow upward. Your heart is released from all these. They just flow upwards. Just raise your hands in the sky and do the Swami step and chant Hare Krishna. You can dance for Krishna. You can cook for Krishna. You can raise children for Krishna. We don't say give up having sex, but you raise children for Krishna. Everything, all your senses. There's no question of giving up sense gratification, but you Krishnaize all of your sensual activities. Then you will no longer be attracted. This Akrur, what is amazing in this world? Nothing is there. After tasting Krishna consciousness, nothing is left. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes.
Is Akrura considered a pure devotee?
that's also discussed later on in the later part of the 10th canto, because he was a pure devotee, but he got involved in that Shamataka jewel conspiracy. He committed some sort of offense. They had something funny happen. I can't remember what it is there. As soon as he came to Nandagam, he saw Krishna's footprints. He just rolled in the dust. Just like after we traveled for 2 months, we come back to Vrindavan. As soon as we cross the border, it stopped a car. Just jump out and roll in the dust. Yes. Because that is Vasudev. When he appeared from Devaki's womb, then he appeared with forearms, big helmet and club, disc and all these things. When Krishna's in Dwarka, then he's a big king. He's Purn Bhagwan. In Mathura, he's Paripurn. And in Vrindavan, he's Paripurna Tam. As we know, Krishna's two Bhagavans, I am. That Brijananandan Shamsundar, he's the most opulent. But that opulence at Aishwarya is completely covered with Madhurya. But there's nothing beyond Krishna. He's Krishna's two Bhagavans, I am. In Dwarka, he's all Aishwarya. In Mathura, just like now we'll read, when Krishna Balaram come and they stand before Devaki, they just saw him kill Kams, and they know nobody can kill Kams. So Krishna Balaram, they haven't seen their parents since they were born, and all of a sudden they're standing there, and they're just... So Krishna Balaram started crying. They're expecting now they'll get a nice hug and some sweet treatment, and the parents are just standing there with folded hands, and they began to cry. As soon as they cry, then immediately that Aishwarya bhav got washed away, and then Devaki grabbed Krishna and held him to her breast like this. So there's Aishwarya, but there's still a little bit of Madhurya. But in Dwarka, it is all Aishwarya. So he's Purn Bhagwan in Dwarka, Paripurn in Mathura, the Paripurna Tam in Braj. So this is what's happening here, is that Krishna and Balaram will remain within the hearts of the Brijvasis, and the Vasudev and Anantashesh will go to Mathura. That's why even he saw in the water, he saw that instead of seeing Krishna and Balaram, he saw Anantashesh and Vishnu. It's very switched. That Vasudeva Krishna. Of course, in transcendental plane, they're non-different. All Vishnu Tattva is the same. But within the transcendental relishing, there's some relishable difference between Krishna and Vasudeva. Is it okay? But when you're lamenting, if you have something, you take it for granted. But if you lose it, then you're thinking, just like if you're a poor man, somehow you won the lottery, and you got 20 million rupees. And in the morning you find that some thief has taken it. How you'll think about that 20 million, you got that 20 million rupees, wow, that's so nice, and you lost it. Oh, you'll just think, oh, I had 20 million. You will think more intensely. All their sensual activities turned inside. They were seeing Krishna. Externally it appears they're lamenting, but because they're intensely meditating on Krishna, exteriorly it appears that they're lamenting. But internally they're just seeing Krishna, they're feeling Krishna's touch, They're embracing Krishna. They're with Krishna. Externally, it appears like lamentation. Just like I joined in Boulder, Colorado, so that's in the foot of the Rocky Mountains. It's mile high. We used to go to Denver to chant. And in the winter time, it was freezing cold, 10 below zero. And we were there chanting on the street, and there's snow all over. They pushed all the snow. There's big piles of snow on the side of the road because they went through and pushed it all and cleaned off the sidewalk, and people are walking between the piles of snow. And everybody's got a very horrible face. Like this, they're all bundled up. Very hard face. And we were there chanting in front of one department store there. What was that called? May DNF. And there was a little indentation in the sidewalk like this where we didn't block the traffic, so we would chant there. And it was so cold, we just had to completely concentrate on Krishna's name. Because if you lost your concentration, then you were miserable. Oh, what are we doing out here? So you just concentrated on Krishna's name so much. All the devotees had smiles from ear to ear. Everybody else is like, these guys smiling. One girl, she was so astonished. She just stopped in her tracks seeing the devotees smiling. Finally, her fingers turned purple, so she ran inside the store and bought some mittens, so she could watch these happy people, and everybody else is going, and people are saying, oh, there are gurus there in Mauritius, you know, enjoying like anything, and they're standing here on this cold street corner chanting, ringing bells, you know. One guy came by and he was saying, oh, your guru's probably there in Hawaii, you know, same place, same thing, Mauritius, Hawaii, it's all paradise. Poor people are suffering. But we were enjoying like anything as we were concentrating intensely on the holy name. So externally it appeared we were suffering, but we were enjoying like anything. So we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's engaged us in Krishna conscious sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada ki.